Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody ride to me.
If white immigrants can come to this country 50 years ago with nickels and dimes and no education, and come here and pool their little nickels and dimes and no education, and set up little stores, develop these stores into larger stores, develop this into an industry which creates job opportunities for whites. Since Lincoln was supposed to have freed the black man 100 years ago, and today the black man, according to the government economist, has spending power of $20 billion per year. We feel that with the black man spending $20 billion a year, not setting up any businesses, not creating any industry, not creating any job opportunities for his own kind, he's not in a moral position to point the finger today at the white man and tell the white man that he's discriminating against him for not giving him a job in factories that he himself set up. If the black man has $20 billion, and these so-called Negro leaders are such geniuses that they can integrate white restaurants and integrate white factories and integrate, force themselves into that which the white man has set up, they should use this same ingenuity to show the black people how to pool our wealth and set up something of our own. And then we won't have to force our way into his anymore. One more thing I would like to point out concerning what he said about 125th Street. We don't waste our time on 125th Street, but you can reach more people in the street who want to change than you can in the bourgeoisie society, the bourgeoisie church, and the bourgeoisie circles. Our program is directed towards the man in the street. So we spend our time in the street, and what we do with that man, instead of trying to change the white man in your mind and make you accept us, we change the mind of the black man and make him accept himself. And as soon as he accepts himself, he'll solve his own problem. He won't be trying to force himself into your factory and into your bedroom and into your kitchen.
Yeah, what's up, family? What's up, what's up, what's up? Peace and greetings to y'all out there. How y'all doing? I think y'all did help me out right fast. Help me out before we get started to show y'all. Can I get a mic check? Y'all can hear me clear in the chat room, because y'all let me know. Yes, it's clear. This is okay. Trying to get a mic check. Trying to get this thing worked out today. Just running behind, losing the pieces, losing microphones, and everything. Y'all can hear me. Mike Lowe. All right, appreciate it. I'm trying to work this out. Appreciate it. We're going to open it up. Go ahead and open it up. I'm going to have to switch mics, but we're going to get it opened up. The peace and love, family, y'all. Peace and the greetings to y'all out there, man. The Radio Land, Blog Talk Radio Land. Welcome in to Culture Freedom Radio. We most definitely in the house, y'all, on this Friday afternoon. Man, hey, trying to do what we got to do. Man, sometimes it's difficult, y'all, but hey, we got to keep the show rolling. As they say, y'all, the show must go on. Man, this thing must go on because the fight don't stop. Even though sometimes you be down and out, man, you low on energy and whatnot, sometimes we have to just keep it going, man. And I ain't gonna lie, y'all. Sometimes right here at Culture Freedom Radio, man, we be busy, man, have a lot of other personal things that we have to do. But y'all know what? We have to keep trying to push it on, man. So, hey, y'all, we'll work out some of these kinks. So y'all hear a lot of times dealing with this stuff, we got a lot of kinks that we work out. So we try to keep it going, y'all. So this is February the 21st, y'all, of 2014. Man, delighted to be in the house with y'all right here tonight, y'all. Man, y'all know these shows are hosted by none other than y'all brothers. It is Brother Aaron, Brother Anthony, and Brother Sunray 9. We are your gracious hosts right here at Culture Freedom Radio. Man, always a privilege to see y'all in the house and knowing that y'all are there. We just probably can't physically see y'all, but just pulling it in, knowing the love that y'all have for us right here, man. That keep us going to do what we have to do. But tonight, y'all, topic of conversation is, yes, sir. We still in February, y'all, what they calling Black History Month. So we have to keep this thing going, Black History. You know, it's just not narrowed down to 28 days of Black History. Black History is every day. And Black History is not just American thing, y'all. Black History is actually world history. But y'all hear what I said. Black History is world history. Black History is what makes every other history come into existence. Y'all heard what I said? If we say that we are the original family on this planet Earth, we as the so-called black man and woman here, we are the ones who make everybody else's history come into existence. Can't nobody access anything in the world if it wasn't for black folks. You know what I'm saying? I had to put the, y'all hear me? I put that Southern Baptist preacher in there. If it wasn't for black folk, we wouldn't have, no one else will have a history because we taught everybody else everything that we know. Yeah. We taught them everything we know. We still got a little tricks up our sleeve. We got a little things in our bag, y'all. But, hey, we taught everybody else. So we make world history, not only American history, not only African history. We make world history. So with that, y'all, we're going to get into this thing tonight, talk about black history, y'all. Chop and Screwed. I know y'all tripping off that title there, Chop and Screwed. Man, y'all know Culture Freak can come up with some titles. Yes, we can. Chop and Screwed. With that said, y'all, let's get into it, y'all. Black history, Chop and Screwed. We're going to let y'all see what he's talking about tonight, y'all. Y'all know how we do it. Ain't no telling which way we're going to go with this tonight. But however we're going to go with it, we're going to do a Culture Freedom Radio style. So let me bring my brother in the house, y'all. Y'all know him, man. Y'all know the love and his brother straight out of Cali. Man, my brother who I've been delighted to do this show with for, man, over 4 years. This is my brother, y'all. This is, I got mad love for my brother, man. We do it, y'all. No matter we feel like it or not, man, no matter what we're going through, this brother has helped me out, man. I ain't lying. He has helped me out. He has encouraged me to, man, do what I do, encouraged me to motivate and study even harder than I ever studied hard before. Man, no, I'm nothing than my brother, y'all. Man, let me give him some love out to my brother, Brother Eric, y'all. Man, coming in the house, y'all. Peace to you, Brother Eric. Peace, peace.
Peace, man. Thank you, Brian. And my sentiments as well. I feel the same way about you. So, but I do got one thing to tell you, though, bro. You need to push that goddamn podium closer to you, to your mic, your goddamn rostrum that you're preaching off of. Push that motherfucker closer. Because you sound like Dr. York's old tapes. We straining our ears and shit trying to hear that motherfucker. The mic low, bruh. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But anyway,
yeah,
can you hear me, man?
Oh,
now you're getting better.
Yeah, I'm on a Skype mic. I don't know. I'll probably be breaking up.
Oh, now you're good. You're good now. Yeah, you sound like one of the messenger's tapes. You know them old school messenger tapes? The messenger?
Yeah.
You'd be straining your ears trying to hear that. But anyway, just like Erykah Badu said, she got the shotgun at your back. I had to put it in my damn back. Because, shit, I need to raise up. Even if you're tired, bro, you still got to. Man, if we wanna come into a higher consciousness, we're gonna have to put the work in. We're gonna have to do it when we don't want to. We're gonna have to do it when we're tired. I don't know. I'm doing my show. Give me some peace of mind. Close the door. So. Yeah, man, I had to just get up out of this mindset and come into the light, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry for the interruption. It threw me off. But, yeah, we're talking about Black History Month, Chopped and Screwed. And what does that really have to deal with? It has to deal with how our history is limited to just a few individuals that you can literally count on one hand these days. You know, black history used to flourish with all kind of different icons in our history. And now it's like dwindled down. If you even peep game on it, it's dwindled down to like about, I said five, and I can't even count five. I know it used to be like Martin Luther King, George Washington Carver, Harriet Tubman, what's her name on the bus? What's the refuses to get up off the bus? And every year it gets shorter and shorter. Like this year, all they talked about was Martin Luther King.
Hmm.
Remember when they used to have documentaries after documentaries? You ran across, even if you didn't watch them because you already knew, It'd be the same documentary any goddamn way. You didn't say that much. But, you know, this year, how many documentaries was on PBS? He just happened to turn the TV and it's like, oh, they celebrating the Black History Month. They got this, this, this. I ain't really catch nothing. You some Ray? Anybody in the chat room?
No, I don't think I did.
Tell me I ain't crazy. Am I tripping or no? But I don't want to delay. I don't want to delay my rant, bro. Let's go ahead and bring in Brother Anthony, man.
Yes, sir.
Peace to you, Brother Ant. Peace. One love.
All right. Peace to your family and one love to you. Yeah, I was just listening. I was listening to what you were saying, what I just caught, but yeah, you're right, Eric, on that point. I ain't catch nothing, period. I ain't catch nothing at all.
Not a damn thing.
It's like, hey, y'all, it's almost like we didn't gave y'all the information over and over and over. But then you got to remember your boy Skip Gates got out the business. We forgot about him. He's running with Nas now, so that probably has a little something to do with it, too. You know, they normally throw one of his faulty documentaries up, but I ain't seen none of his work either. And Stan only had something to contribute. I ain't seen old Soledad or Brian do nothing either. So it's like I guess they taking a page out of Texas on that, too, because, you know, Texas saying to do away with all the Black history and Mexican history out of the textbooks, period. So I guess they saying we done assimilated so much, we don't need to have something separate and set aside for them. We all one. This is, I guess, what they're trying to push now. So
I feel you. You know what's crazy, though, bro? You know what's crazy, though? They're replacing it with...
Gay.
Huh?
With
A right? No. I'm back on the Black History thing. My thing.
Oh,
my bad. They're replacing it. You know, our Black History with media media news and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just Black people just getting done the dirtiest. You know what I'm saying? Look how they had the sister on there talking about Michael Dunn.
Yeah.
The Michael Dunn case, the white man who killed a brother for playing his music. Look how they had her up there, man. See how they doing? That's our Black history.
Mm-hmm.
We victimized motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Got the white dude saying he a victim. You know what I'm saying? Now this is going down to set a precedent in the law books. So when they go study the law, and this case right here will be used for another case dealing with a brother and a white man. They'll use this case.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, man. But the one thing I wanted to know, but I ain't been really following in the case, is what kind of music was that brother playing? I just wanted to know what kind of music. Was that even brought up in the court? I bet you one damn thing, if he was bumping some Dead Prez, that white man wouldn't have pulled out shit. That's what he should have been bumping. That's what I would have been bumping. Shit. But anyway, that's a little side note. You gotta tell a joke instead of crying, man. But anyway, y'all go ahead and bring the blackness, man. We talking about our Black history not being complete. You know what I'm saying? And there's things that, man, there's multitudes of things that we don't even know about ourselves. We just scratching the goddamn surface. The more you read and the more you study, you'd be like, man, that's me. I ain't even know. You ever came to that conclusion? That's me. I didn't even know. Start calling everybody some MS around that motherfucker. Other people know. That's what's so cold. Best friend, best white friend, no shit, but won't even drop a seed on you. He didn't know about you. But anyway, y'all bring the blackness.
Yeah, I want. Go ahead.
Nah, go ahead, bro. Hey, when you get a chance. Brother Andy, when you stand, drop a little bit on that that Skippy Gates about what he's doing too when you get a chance to.
Okay. I wanna add a little more to what Eric was saying, like he said, we had Trayvon incident. We had this young brother, the Dunn case, what's the brother named? Davis case. And then that there is a contributing factor, in my opinion, as well as they downplaying this black history, because you have to understand it's getting so broad and information is coming out about stuff we didn't know, and because we got so much access now to our to investigate our history, they don't want to show you certain things like back in the civil rights, because they scared that these two killings, like you said, they also are going to be what you call case study cases. That can be used because it was already ruled out to help Europeans continue doing their slaughter and getting off. But they don't want to inspire nobody's mind to go back into those times. You see what I'm saying? That we put up a resistance. They don't want to create no unity, inspire some type of black pride in you to say, hey, you know what, these motherfuckers. They don't want the youth to uprise because being targeted is the youth. They scared of them. And when the youth figure out that, hey, we are being a target and ain't going to never be no justice for us, for our parents and our loved ones, if they kill us. So we need to start, you know, coming up with a strategy to protect ourselves. They don't ever want that to occur. So this is why they had to probably downplay a little bit of this black history as well, because I got a piece of history right here that they don't ever want to tell you about. These brothers are called the Deacons of Defense and Justice. I don't know if anybody heard about these people, but they came out. It was okay. I'm gonna read a little bit about them. The Deacons of Defense. They were armed self-defense African American civil rights organization in the U.S. Southern states during the 1960s. Historically, which they were around before then, you know, because these brothers were, hadn't they stopped the trains, they would have made it to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and shut down that attack on Black Wall Street. They were groups of men that were dispersed throughout the South, and they protected civil rights leaders. They protected churches and homes and businesses from being bombed by the Klan. And these brothers were so fierce, they would go hunt down the Ku Klux Klan. These were black brothers. And they say their agenda was self-defense in case of using violence if necessary. Did not fit the image, which your boy, you know, say did not fit the image of leaders such as Dr. King exposed. Yet they had been a recent debate over the critical role of the Deacons and other lesser-known militant organizations played on a local level throughout much of the rural South. Many times in these areas, the federal government didn't always have complete control over localities to enforce such laws like Civil Rights Act of 1964 or Voting Act of 65. They say the Deacons are the segment of the larger tradition of black power in the United States. And this tradition began with the interception of African slavery in the U.S., and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, when people get time, I don't know who wrote this one, but they have a YouTube clip, a movie about these brothers, too, as well. And people might want to check that out. For Wikipedia, you know, they're going to remix a lot of it and downplay it. Like I said, these brothers here was no-nonsense brothers. And they kept the beast in line by any means. Before you had your Black Panther Party and all this stuff, these brothers was making noise. But go ahead, Sunray.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, like I said, it's a lot of the history and a lot of this thing they did too. Noticed this month, like you said, brother, we did the Judge Zimmerman. We tried to do a flea flicker, B-52 fake out with the Judge Zimmerman thing. I hope my mic's straight now, y'all. So y'all got to forgive me, fam. I'm on the Skype mic, so it'll probably be going in and out. But yeah, this is the best I could do for tonight. So y'all forgive me. Yeah, they did the George Zimmerman thing. They was trying to fake people out with the George Zimmerman. And then, like y'all saying, that other guy, that Michael Dunn, whatever that trick name with that case. And it just a lot of things that was going on. I really hadn't seen too much of even us other people putting the Black history out too much, you know, but the same old thing ourselves. Nothing really new, spectacular that was happening. Because that's one thing, we can't really look at our enemy to teach us. You know, we say that, you know, a lot. We can't look at our fucking enemy to teach us our shit when he trying to cover it up. Because all throughout this month, I noticed a lot of things they are trying to say how, like I've been saying this for the last 2 weeks, how they talking about how they were the first ones who came to America and... man, it's just a lot of things they talk about. And then I seen too how they talked about Lucy. They found the skull, and Lucy was the oldest was skeleton remains or whatever that was found in Africa. But now they saying the oldest footprint that actually been found was in France. So you know, and they go back so many millions of years or whatever. So it just a lot of things they're trying to put history out for themselves. You know, and, you know, you can always look at that, though. When it comes down to your enemy, you're not going to uplift your enemies or whatever. You're jealous of them. You're not going to uplift them and tell the truth about them. You're going to try to hide and cover up shit about them. So, you know, that's why it's very important for even as for us, as the media outlets that we are, we have to put this information out and try to get our people to recognize mainstream media not going to do it. Because it's controlled by them, ran by them. So they own it. We can't look for them to put this shit out. That is very important. That's why they told us, our teachers told us, do for self. And that's for everything, you know, business-wise and, hell, information-wise, teach our children our own history, everything. Everything. Because we can't rely on them. Sometimes they'll tell the truth, but in reality, they always going to put their shit first. That's why they come up with a thing called race. That's why they call ethnic groups or whatever, ethnicity groups or however they want to term that. That's why they call it a race. Because in a race, everybody's trying to get to the finish line first. And the first people they're trying to put to the finish line is themselves. That's just it. And the first, everybody want to stand on that first podium and have that first place trophy. So that's why they want to call it a race, because you know, they trying to win this motherfucking race. They trying to be the first one to the finish line and everything. And here's something I've been noticing. I'm going to get more into the history since we're talking history. I've been noticing this thing. It just might be Sunray mine. You know, I just might be fucked up and might be my own little world. But I was seeing some things dealing with... like they got these Pampers boxes. And I forgot the name of the company. I've been seeing it. I forgot the name of the company. It used to be, you know, on Pampers boxes and everything, right? They used to have white faces on everything that they had, the white images all over everything. So they used to have the Pampers boxes with the white babies all on it. And then a couple of years back, I seen a few little Black babies. If you're a light skin, so you've been talking a lot of those. You know, maybe a dark skin here and there. But now I'm starting to see a lot of... Hispanic babies on this recent Pampers boxes that's been out. I've been seeing a Hispanic little boy on the boxes lately. And my little mind went like this here. This is how my little mind went. I'm like, okay, so what are they trying to tell us? Subliminally, what are they telling us? The Mexicans are taking over. They the new birth. They the ones who's really taking over America. This is the new birth that's going to happen. Because there was statistics that came out last year, and this came on mainstream media. They were saying maybe in the next 20 years or something like that, the Hispanic population or Mexican, I don't want to say Hispanic, let me take that back, so-called Mexican population will be the majority in America. They said they will be the majority in America. This is what they were saying. So even then, when I looked at the lip pamper boxes, but that happened, I said, huh. They showing us the baby in the box. It's the new birth of America. The Mexicans taking over. Because who the white folks don't fuck this country up so bad, mess this country up. They don't even want the Mexican anymore. That's why they really let them come out like Barack Obama get in the White House. Y'all knew the old saying where the elders used to say, I probably don't know that. Elves used to say, white folks going, when they mess stuff up so bad, that's when they put us in position as the scapegoat to be able to, now they can blame everything else. They use us as the scapegoat. And y'all know, sure enough, Bush, them, all of them been messing shit up anyway. But when Bush so-called messed shit up, people got so mad at Bush all around the world. Then they throw a black man in there, then put the blame on him for all of this shit that's happening. It never fails, man. He's the scapegoat. So they don't fuck these things up so bad. Now they want to start land with the Mexicans. Instead of just saying where the black people are going to take over, because we are actually the majority in this war, they're just saying to us, where the Mexicans are going to be the new faces of America. Because y'all know they already paint them as the Native Americans and indigenous people that was on the planet anyway. So, hey, why not? But like I said, it's just my little mind. Yeah, I don't know. I might be off key on this, but that's how I think.
No, you ain't off key. You woke.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know if y'all got in California. You seen it, brother, in California? The pamper boxes?
No. I probably ain't paying no attention, though. You know what I'm saying? I might have seen it, but didn't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Check it out.
I'm gonna look for them motherfuckers, though. Because, you know, that's it's just like when we was talking about on one show about Barack Obama having Obamacare and having them two Asians on the icon for the webpage. All they had was an Asian man and an Asian woman. No other culture. Like, damn, what are they trying to say? That's that show we was talking about. They was trying to kiss China's ass. You remember? It was on that show. Yeah, but you on point with that shit?
Yeah, because you got that going on everywhere. Like not the Christmas just passed, but the Christmas before that. You know how they put them in the little Sunday paper you get where they promoting the little toys for the kids and shit?
Yeah.
When you open that damn, now, when we came up, there's always a little white kid playing with the little toy and all that type of shit. And when, as an adult, you know, you seen it always, it was, and they had one black here. When you opened it up last year, because I ain't even look at it this year, the Christmas past, but the year before that, I had took it out because I was showing somebody, look at this. You ain't have nothing but all mixed breed kids and a white boy here and one black boy here. Not even a, and they had a Hispanic or two, but it was all kids. I said, look at this shit. That leads back to what you're saying with Barack Obama. How that is for black history, too. When they, I forget who said something, when they painted the Malcolm X, the Martin Luther King picture, they said Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and they paint Barack Obama, and they be selling these things on the street corner. I think it may have been Nellie Fuller or somebody else. Somebody said it. They were saying in a speech, and they were saying that they should never paint Barack Obama in that pitch, in them pictures like that, and be selling them people. But that sends a message, and it was blacks that were doing it, that we have arrived. So when white folks see that imagery, they say, okay, we gave them Barack Obama. So what we were trying to do worked. They get the message of what we're trying to do. So there's no need for black history no more. You guys made it through Barack Obama because you're showing civil rights, a form of civil rights, Dr. King icon. You're showing the militant side of you, with Malcolm X, now you're showing that you have arrived with Barack Obama. And they know how Negroes go crazy about Barack Obama. But when they ban these paintings, hanging them up in their houses, you see what I'm saying? They agreeing with their oppressor that you can go on to the next move of assimilation. We all is one. And then he's a mixed breed person. So he's black and white. He represents assimilation in your mindset. You see what I'm saying? He's completed your struggle. So you don't need to be asking for nothing. You don't even need to discuss what happened in the past. And this is what they're saying. Don't bring up the past. We got to move forward. You know, y'all run hip-hop wars. We're going to give some to the white, so everything will be easy. This is your Macklemore. Winning. See what I'm saying? R&B. We got to give up some R&B, too. Who is the one? I forget who took all of R&B. Oh, we got to accept Robin Thicke now. We got to accept these people, and we embrace them. You see what I'm saying? And then when it's award time, they give all the awards to them because you embrace them. Even though they done did their little trickery with the numbers, cry boo-hoo and go home. You don't even have a fighting spirit no more like your ancestors and the people in the past. So they ain't worried about screwing you around every time. Black history now is just basic. And then that bastard, I forget, he come out and say, we don't need black history. I think it was Harry Belafonte or somebody. She say, he say, we should be concerned with American history. That wasn't him. That was Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. That was Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah, I remember when he said that shit, too.
Last year.
Yeah.
It was last year, Black History, he said that. So I guess they took him up on his advice this year.
Yes, indeed. Good point made. Good point indeed. Damn.
Yeah, that shit just came right to my head then, thinking about this shit.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. Chopping it up. Hey, y'all, let's go to a break. Y'all feel like breaking, or y'all feel like dropping?
Yeah, because I know we got a couple.
I don't want to hold nobody back now.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to hold nobody back. But we'll take a break if y'all cool.
You good?
Yeah.
You good? Because I know
I'll come back with Skip Gates after that.
All right, then.
We all know white Egypt is a joke, but how did that lie even get started? And how did the Euro clown sell the idea of whites in Africa anyway? With Napoleon's incursion into northern Africa in the early 19th century, Egypt had finally come back to the white world's attention. While Napoleon's troops were busy giving the Sphinx a nose job, Francois Champollion, a fellow Frenchman, was deciphering the hieroglyphs. Both Champollion and Count de Volney attested to the Egyptians having been Africans. At this time, not even one European or Arab said the Egyptians were white. But then again, Champollion and de Volney were not racialists. Unfortunately, it wasn't long after France reminded the white world of Egypt's glory that the white supremacists from the U.S. and Britain rushed to Africa. The white world hadn't taken an interest in Egypt since the time of the Romans. The Europeans had never cared about Egypt at all. So why the sudden interest? What had changed? What had changed was that there was now a white supremacy myth that was the flimsy glue holding the white world together. And these twisted minds converging on Africa realized that myth was about to come undone. But the white revisionists had one major advantage, the public's ignorance. Black Egypt was merely common knowledge in the global mind, not an established fact. Since mass production of books didn't exist yet, the public had no specific pictures of the Egyptians' own artwork or translation of their writings to attach blackness to. It would be no problem for the revisionists to get the white academic world behind them. After all, the doctrines of black inferiority came from white universities. Most of the book and magazine publishers were white university men, just like the white supremacists who were rewriting Egypt's history. Not only would these colleagues eagerly publish these lies, they'd also ensure anything to the contrary simply wouldn't be printed in books or magazines. The cool, rational analyses of men like Herodotus and Champollion had now been outlawed. The racists were about to rewrite history. These men created Egyptology, the first racial philosophy masquerading as a science. From now on, the Egyptians would no longer be the last word on their own world. White scholars would be the authorities now. They began the whitewashing of Egypt using the popular medium of that day, books. This is a scene of Egyptian women drawn by the Egyptians' own hands. See any pale skin, any blonde hair or blue eyes? But this was what the whites put in their books. This is an image of Princess Kemsit. Her name means the Black Lady. Notice she's being tended by white slaves. But in white books, they show the opposite. Queen Ti, King Tut's grandmother, and her husband Amenhotep III. You can guess what whites did with those two. And with the advent of movies, their propaganda now had the advantage of sound and moving pictures. No one realized it at the time, but whites were manufacturing their own image library. Since there were no images of white Egyptians, whites simply decided to fabricate their own. Every few years, we see another big-budget propaganda piece. Different story, but always the same lie. And after 100 years of this, the whites' manufactured images are now more familiar to the world than any of the ancient Egyptians' authentic pieces, which whites almost never show. In a world where most people get their information from TV, and they think that what they see in the movies is somehow real, is it any surprise that whites could use their media monopoly to sell the biggest lie in history? And so, black skin would be called tanned. The Egyptians would be reimagined as the same race as the vile Asiatics who they detested. White people would have dreadlocks and kinky hair now. The Nubians would be cast as the authentic blacks. The white writers would try to falsify a contrast between them and the newly minted white Egyptians. The white authors would talk about ancient Egypt, but they used terms meant to remind people of the world of the 19th century. This helped create a false association in the reader's mind between Egypt's mostly winning its wars with Nubia and the European conquest in Africa, as well as slavery in America. All they had to do was leave out 90% of the facts and keep repeating their revised version until it stuck. Here's an example of how they did it. This image is a reproduction that is shown in nearly every white-authored book on Egypt, Tut slaying the Nubians. Whites like to point out that some of the Nubians are jet black. But they always conveniently omit that most of the Nubians are shown as being the same reddish-brown color as Tut and having red hair like Ramses II. And not one of those books will dare show the image on the other side of this funerary box found in Tut's tomb. Because it shows Tut riding his chariot over whites who don't look anything like him in form or color. And if this picture of Tut warring with a handful of Nubians who look just like him is proof that the Egyptians hated blacks, then what does it mean when Ramses III rides over an entire ocean of Caucasoids? For whites, it means no way in hell are we going to print this. This image of a rough-looking black prisoner is another white favorite because of his full lips and flared nostrils, even though Nefertiti has the same features. And neither one of them looks like this white slave. Here's another picture you'll see in all the white books on Egypt. And here's one you won't. White POWs being tortured. Ramses killing a white man while his wife watches in admiration. No Nubians were ever treated like this. Ramses has three captives, but only one of them is black. The other two are Asiatic and Semitic. Thutmose III has so many whites by the hair you can't even count them. Pictures of the Egyptians torturing and killing whites far exceed the handful showing the same old pictures of Nubian POWs. Yet white writers rarely mention whites as slaves or prisoners. They only say a few sentences about that, and of course they never show the pictures. This is a 200-year-old propaganda war to achieve one sole purpose. Deceive the reader into thinking of Egypt and black as two separate things. And 2008 was no different. After 30 years of African-American scholars proving Egypt was really black, National Geographic put out this feculent propaganda piece. Instead of calling it the Nubian pharaohs, which at least would have been accurate, they called it the black pharaohs, still maintaining the lie that Egypt was white. The caption on this picture says, "Did Queen Tea have Nubian ancestry? This bust, darkened with age, inspired claims that she did." That's three lies for the price of one. First of all, what proof do they offer that this bust has darkened with age? None. No scientific analysis, no tests of any sort. They simply say it and expect you to buy it. And they don't give us any Egyptian writings or scientific analyses to support this Nubian tea crap either. So who's making these so-called claims then? The editorial board at National Geographic. That's who. They just insert their own unfounded racist opinions into every article and act like that alone is proof. If they're going to say one of Egypt's most celebrated queens was a foreigner, shouldn't they have to back it up with something? What if a black person said, "Was Queen Nefertiti Asiatic? This bust, which has faded with age, has inspired claims that she was." National Geographic would run a front-page story challenging that the sculpture had faded and demanding to know exactly who made those Asiatic claims. Here's another question. If Queen Tea was Nubian, doesn't that mean her grandson, King Tut, was part Nubian as well, and that this pale reconstruction is a complete fraud? Because the Euro clowns at National Geographic have never said Tut's sculptures have darkened with age. So if Tut's grandmother was black, and National Geographic concedes that his sculptures are accurate to his skin tone, why did they make him look like Casper the Friendly Ghost then? Because it's never been about Egypt. It's about supporting the myth of white supremacy that undergirds European power today. The Euro clowns realize they're losing. Not long ago they said no blacks built Egypt. Now that science has proven them wrong, they're trying to claim the Ethiopians are Caucasians. Because many Ethiopians have narrow noses, whites think they can use that to claim Ethiopians aren't like those other Africans who have bones in their noses and plates in their lips. I guess no one ever told the Europeans that it's the Ethiopians, like the Surma and Mercy tribes, who put plates in their women's lips. So if Ethiopians really are Caucasians, then that means it's whites who don't have any better sense than to put dinnerware in their mouths. Didn't see that one coming, did we? Maybe next time you'll think before you lie. Whites have been taught to worship themselves. Perhaps they should have chosen another god. One who was smarter.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. They're doing the same thing now.
Exactly.
It's just on a higher level. They're doing the same thing that they do, that they always doing. Changing shit. Now they're writing you into history as being feared. Trying to prove the reason why you was in shackles in the first goddamn place. Because all this is tracking history.
Mm-hmm.
And certain things that happened throughout this generation of awareness and confusion, that's going to be written down in an encyclopedia, and it's being documented. Psychologists are studying this shit. That's how they get able to control this motherfucker. They study him this shit. They study people. They pay people to study people. Get the data. All that imagery on top of the lies, same thing they're going to do in this period of time. It's going to be lies. So people, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to be doing the same shit we doing now. They're going to be arguing over the fact of the motherfucker. No, this is this because this was this and this is this because of him. So they'll be doing the same shit 50 years from now that we're doing right now. But they'll be arguing over the same stuff and going over the same data and doing the same shit. They come to our time period, and it's going to be the same shit, missing loopholes and shit. You ain't gonna know who to fucking believe. Just like now, you don't really know who to fucking to believe. Thought you believed in this leader, then you like, then this, and you're like, Black history might chop and screw.
Mm-hmm.
We got so much to offer and so much knowledge until it's just going to confound the mind. You ain't going to know where to go. And when you come into the knowledge, you're all over the place. Sometimes you can stay here for a minute, but you're over here and you're over there with that knowledge. They don't want no. They don't want your mind to work like that. We want you fixated on what we want you to fixate on, such as TV, internet, cell phone, or whatever we got to offer you. Porn, beer, weed, coke, whatever. To keep your ass away from opening up that pineal gland. So we're going to chop and screw your history. We're going to have you tripping off your financial. Y'all help me out. Financial whatever issues. You know what I'm saying? We're going to mess you all up. Because we know if you got all your ducks in a row and your pineal gland is working at its optimum, man, ain't no stopping. You're right. So let's limit you. And let's just give you these figureheads for you to focus on. And your babies focus on. Because maybe I'm not going to even do a percentage. And I'm not going to even, I was going to say something, but I ain't going to say it. No, I'm going to say it. Fuck it. A lot of conscious people don't even teach their children. I might get some flack for that, but come on, man. You just got to be real with yourself. Or teach people around them. They just go in closed circles and teach with the ones they know, but they don't share. But one thing I got to say about these brothers I know right here, they teach every day. I know it for a fact. They teach every day. Brother Anthony, Brother Sunray, they teaching somebody every day. I know this. That's what we all need to be doing. Teaching somebody something. Drop a seed. At least get, you know, you got to drop your seed sometime. Because if our people don't know, because it's one thing to know and not know. Because you could say all the kind of things you could want to say based on how you were before you knew. And if I didn't know, I'd probably be. Some people say, man, if I didn't know what I know now, I'd probably be dead. If I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? I've heard this so many times. And I've said it my damn self. But y'all go ahead, man.
Okay, we got a call. Call in the caller's queue. Let me get to this call right fast. 331. Welcome to Culture Freedom Radio. Peace to you.
Hello, are you hearing me?
Yes, sir. Got you loud and clear.
I just want to say, like, with the Black History Month and the whole conscious community and Black community, you have to know a lot of these Black people. It's just like they've been trained through Christianity. So they've been trained how to comprehend. So a lot of these people, they can't comprehend correctly, and they have self-hate issues. That's why they don't hold nobody to be accountable for nothing. They don't hold other leaders to be accountable or for nothing, because if they had a chance, like they say, they wouldn't give a nigga shit. So you dealing with different species of people. When you deal with Black people, the English language and word are confusion. When you deal with race, it means a color in a way, but it means a competition. So we should be competing against all other races, but we're only competing against each other. So that's why you see, like, I'm from, like, the hood or whatever you call it. You got 30 people that's competing, trying to get out of this hellhole, because they've been taught this by these pastors, that the hood is hell and the Black people there are demons. So they're just competing against each other, trying to get out of where and go where. These people don't understand. And a lot of these people, it's different species of them, so it's nothing could be did but work with certain people that is your species or whatever. A lot of these people, even people in my family, like my grandma and stuff, a lot of people in my family, they not no good. Even my friends, they not no good. And a lot of these people, they know certain stuff, but it's not that they don't know. They got so much insecurity and jealousy and envy, and they don't want Black people to know. So I still teach people and help on my Black people and do stuff, but that's just how I feel.
Good point. Good point.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
all.
Thought I heard somebody. Brother,
yeah,
Ed, you call my name, right?
Yeah. He made some good points. Like he was saying, problem is a lot of us don't comprehend or don't want to. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the truth is hurt. It's painful. That, especially, and like I say, with some of the older heads, they hate these, like Eric was saying, they didn't know what they know now. You know, they'd probably be dead or something like that. It's almost like that, like this brother here just said, it's painful to know you've been living a lie. And now you got to, when the truth come out, now you got to accept it. And it's hurtful that when it's somebody younger than you, present this, and you saying, well, damn, the white man ain't never told me this, because like you said, most people is programmed by the white man. They've gotten their history. They've gotten all the information, Caucasian, what he told them in school, what he told them on TV, especially what he telling you on the news. So when you come with facts to debunk all that shit, and then a white boy come behind you and say, we just found this shit out new, brand new about this, and it coincides to what you was telling the individual, they get mad at you instead of getting mad at their oppressor who lied to them. You see what I'm saying? They mad because you knew it first or you said it and they got to not accept it. You see what I'm saying? Like, damn, here this brother told me, here this sister told me. Now here the beast saying what he said, and it could be something, you know,
that was crucial that they were in their life, that they had to believe this to get to a certain level or do some fuck shit to get to a certain level, and then come to find out that, hey, all that shit wasn't necessary. You know, I did that because I was fooled to believe something. Like he was saying about the hood. Get out of the hood and go where? You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Oh, I'm going to be middle class, go to the suburbs. Now look what Bush did to him with the foreclosure. I took so many damn houses just in the area of Georgia alone where these people thought they were moving on up and shit, moving into the little subdivisions. I made it, $400,000 house, $500,000 house. 3 years they were losing them, running from their own people.
That's who they running from. Even a lot of these rappers, I'm from Joliet, about 30 minutes from Chicago. These people not going nowhere. I'm just 30 minutes away. Ain't none of these people moving up out the hood. They not going nowhere. Go where? And so I even got people in my family. They got a nice house. They broke. They spending all this money to try to prove this up aside that they better than somebody. You see, and this is because they've been taught that they better than everybody. So it's just like when you grow up in the hood. I'm not saying that I grew up in Chicago, but I grew up in like the crack gang selling dope, you know, robbing. It's not that bad where I was from. It was enough money for everybody at that time. So I'm not jealous or insecure, or I didn't grow up like I need to make it, run away from this person. But a lot of these people, they didn't taught their kids that person is not your friend. That person is not your friend. That person is no good. So then once we grow up and we start killing each other, that's what the parents had taught. See, it needs to be my family tree start with me. We have to break the young people and some of the older people, like 30% of every decade, like 30% of people who I'm 30 and 30% of people who I'm 40, we have to break away from these people. These people are not black. They are descendants of Africa. They descended from that. They're not that. This is what I'm telling you. I've been in the streets. I used to be a Muslim. I done been to jail 11 years of my life. I know for a fact I done been into churches. These people are not black no more. You can't even some people in my family, if it come down to a person, I'm like you or one of my friends, and we get into it. If I have to take them out, I take them out. Because I'm just telling you the truth, the people are not no good. And a lot of these people know their way. They've been taught that nobody's perfect. I'm perfect. You cannot catch me up in no lies. It's not nothing that you have against me that I'm ashamed of. And I get into it with people every day because they don't have nothing on me. I could put all type of stuff on them. Not saying I did these preachers then. And that's why these people, they keep trying to say Macklemore and the black and Latino. And then I tell these people, it's two type of species of people. Either your pubic hair is nappy or it's straight. Now, I'm one of these blacks that got the good hair, you know, and they used to fight me when I was a kid. And I used to get into it because my hair is long, like people from Somalia and Ethiopia, you see. But it matters, is your pubic hair nappy, kinky, curly, or is your pubic hair straight? If your pubic hair is nappy, you are African. If your pubic hair is straight, you are Asian. If you're white, Caucasian, Caucasus Asian, Asian that are derived from other Caucasus Mountains. But black people can't accept this. They want to go multicultural. Everything black people is taught is Asian persuasion for African domination. I grew up around Mexicans. All these type of people, these people are not black. They can't relate to our struggle. They pimp these people that don't want to be black. They want a black and brown, a Macklemore, multicultural. See, these people really hate they self. And so the hate that they have for they self, they take out on people like me and numerous people like Tupac that they killed for no reason. So, and numerous people in the hood, in the street, that all type of stuff that happened because they were jealous or they was insecure or they set people up, or they try to make people suppress or they self, and they see the religion validates all this, or the piggy bank pastors and those chilling churches, all they do is shit on the community. You go to church, they teach you about Israel, Israel, we already know what that means. You go to the store, and it's an Arab teaching this space God, Allah. And let me tell you what they do with that. All the Arabs here are mostly, because I'm from Joliet, Chicago's right next door, and I got family there. All these people are related. They have big families like the mob. So they are on all these corner stores, and when they go cop all their Cheetos and cheese and liquor and pork grinds to sell us and clothes, they buy all this stuff at one time. $5 million, and they put all their money together, and they're eating other black community alive like vampires. And black people are doing it too. So they're eating alive people. If you can understand, like, what I'm saying, they making all of the money, and they're the Korean, everybody, we is the laughing stock of other races. And you can tell a lot of people, and a lot of times, the only reason why I don't go in my community and take care of the problem, because if I do something, we don't have a store. Now you see like what I'm saying, so we need a store. I'm sorry, areas, and if I do something, I could chase people out. I could snap my fingers, tell my little homie to take them out, but we don't even have the money right now. There's no crack on the streets here.
Let me cut you right there, brother, on there. Let me cut you right quick on that, because you were saying a point. I won't before you go too far and get off what you were saying. You were saying, see, that's you know, you may you know, do your thug fizzle and your gangsterism and stuff, and that's cool. Check this out. There's still an element of fear that you just put out, that you said, because we won't have a store, okay? And I'm not saying it to you personally. I'm using it on a broader level of why most of us around the country won't move like, you know, you basically saying. We have a fear that if we put somebody out, we're going to lose a certain service. When you put somebody out your community, before you even plan to put them out, you're supposed to have another plan in place. See what I'm saying? This is why the white boy is so successful. He will tell you, if you read some of the books that they write about economics and business and financial success, there's only one plan, and that's a plan A. It ain't no plan B and C is incorporated in A. So when you move somebody out of somewhere, you already got scared we're going to starve and go without. And that's what we need to do, starve and go without. You see what I'm saying? Because stuff like you said that they're feeding us, that ain't nothing but toxic and poison. So that's common sense to say, okay, if these people poison us, they got to go. And now we got to bring in people that's going to heal, bring products, as far as food, beverages, other, you know, things that we need, condiments and stuff that are not toxic, that are not poison. You got people behind the scenes that's creating and inventing stuff all day long. You have to start networking with these people, assuring them that when they make these products, you're going to buy them and you're going to make sure that people support them. But you can't never be afraid of not going without, because there's no such thing as that, because the planet will always provide for you. It's just that you have become greedy like your slave master, and you want what he wants. You got to have what he has. Your table got to look like his table. Additives and preservatives inside of there, and drugs and chemicals that got you hooked. I can't go a day without my Cheetos. I can't go a day without ramen noodles. I can't go a day without this. See what I'm saying? All those are luxuries of death, is what I call them, that we crave for. You see what I'm saying? Once you cleanse, you go without that and cleanse your body won't even crave that shit no more. But the fear stops you from doing it, because you need something. You're scared you're going to lose something that they're providing for you. And they know, and that's what they bank on. And this is why they still can stay in your neighborhood and still be successful, still take your money, still kill you, still do what they do, disrespect you, and you cry. Because they know we love to just cry for a minute, and we go on about our business, because we're forgiving and loving people. They play on that. They know we're loving and caring. We're
but
wipe
that
our
does
back friends with them. You see what I'm saying?
But
so you're
that,
right on the hand. You got to get the fear out of you. losers.
But that's just like, I'm saying, like, the whole thing with the cornerstone stuff, I really don't care, but I know a lot of people, and I know this messed up to say, if they didn't have that store where I'm from, they gonna have to walk like 30, 40 blocks to another white man's store, because I don't have the money to put a store into place, or I don't know nobody that would do that. That
good.
That's the whole thing.
Good.
I can't replace it. I would, but a lot of stuff I don't, like, I'm fighting, like, I can't do it. And I know, like, a lot of kids that's under 21, they can understand this. Them old people, most of those are sellouts. They done sold us out. They love other white men, or they followers and they flunkies. That's the whole thing. Even a lot of so-called leaders in my neighborhood and family members, I found out they were nothing but flunkies. That's all they are. Whole.
Mm-hmm.
They just get prostituted. And anybody that look up to them, they look up to people that look down on them because they really worship white people once it's all said and done. And they hate
right.
black people. They don't want a black person to have on the store. I'm clear on this. I told everybody in my neighborhood this. Anybody got to listen. And a lot of people, when you say stuff like this, they cringe up. They
yeah.
cringe up.
The fear that I'm speaking of. The fear. But they should walk, my brother. And then here's a successful business model. If you were able to, you and the young you, y'all were able to put a store. You have to change your imagery. And if them old heads, what you do, so that they don't have to walk them 30 miles, you get some brothers and some sisters together and take them their stuff. You see what I'm saying? You set up something to counter that. Well, if you can't get here, we'll deliver it. They got that going on in California and New York and places like that. Well, they'll bring you your groceries. It used to be a time when the women were walking with groceries. My mama used to walk with groceries when we were children. The winos would put the cap on their bottle and grab them bags and carry them to my mother's door. See what I'm saying? The hoopla.
Yeah.
They would grab them bags, carry them to your door. That's the type of system you have to set back up. That's the shit that worked for us. You have to go back in history and say, hey, how did Black Wall Street work? How did Tulsa, Oklahoma work? How did these people make it in the South when they were doing the sharecropping, when they was pushed up off their land? How did they make it? They had a unified structure. You see what I'm saying? And as a youth, they see y'all doing that, it's going to spark something back in them old heads to say, damn, I remember those times. Y'all have to show them a change. You see what I'm saying?
So,
because the white boy is perpetrating y'all off to them as an enemy, a threat to them. And this is why they won't
right,
reach out to you.
But
they scared.
This is,
they are truly scared. All of them ain't sellouts. They scared.
This is what I'm dealing with is 30% because I'm 30. I'm considered like old, like street hood years. But so I have a little bit of say. So this is what my plan and what I'm working to and what I'm trying to breed, because I breed what I bleed. A lot of these people, they didn't know this stuff. You know, you see, I'm the one that's teaching them. I'd be like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to heal you. Or no, don't do that to that person because you have manufactured problems, and I'm not going to let that happen. So But I can't do everything because I don't have – if I would have knew this when I was like 14, 15, I could have did it. But black people have to have farms. We're going to have to start growing our own plants, our own food. Just like I told a person, there's three things that you should not pay for. That's sex. Women shouldn't sell themselves for sex for a dollar. Now, they shouldn't sell – you shouldn't buy food because you should be able to grow it and manufacture it. All these people talking about jobs, where I'm from, these people not giving us no jobs as a whole. It's very, I'm a few people. It's not enough jobs for all these people. And clothes, people buying these Gucci belts and these Jordans, people could actually sell these things if they had the mind to create nothing. These people, they don't create nothing. They become the bottom of the food chain. These people are jokes. And I wear Jordan stuff, too, but I tell them, like, don't nobody ever respect you. These white people, they sell you Jordans, and y'all killed piece of shoe, you could sew that, but you don't think like that. So we have to change our thinking, and we have to have people that manifest it and make this cool, not just, your mama, she getting pimped out by the pastor, so you go kill this other person, but she'll get a pastor $20 every week to buy you other shoes, but he pimping her. Why don't you just go pop other pastor? But now I see the pastor, because you been taught that you evil. So you still in that Christianized mind state. So if you around me, that's improper etiquette. So I don't play none of that. I don't play none of that. You're not going to go to the next neighborhood and think you finna get into it over somebody else over some shoes. When your mama, I'm getting pimped. And then you not finna smart off to me. When these bad people not taking care of their real problems, they taking their problems out on other people. That's what they doing. And where I'm from, it got to stop because I'm not going for it. And I didn't talk to the other people. It's not no one man, a crusade, I'm with a grenade. We all had to stop it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all.
Yeah. And see, like you were saying, you was making a point. Your bank is your church. This is what they need to learn. Your bank is your church. Once you youths get organized enough, then I'm not holding you accountable. I'm just saying it because I'm talking to a youth, and you speaking specific on your thing. Once you get organized enough, your next move is to go to that church and tell them your plan and what you need to do and what's going to take place, or you get that church about your damn neighborhood by any means necessary. You see what I'm saying?
That's all.
You get them up out of there. You get your church, you get that preacher up out your neighborhood, and you go around getting all of them. If they ain't going to get down, they getting the hell out. If they ain't going to put no money to what God trying to do, when you go to them churches, say, hey, look, okay, we're going to come to these, your church, we putting up this money, blah, blah, blah. We need you to match it so we can make some shit happen. And it ain't going to be in the church name. You know, you understand business and finance, and you got to up and up kind of preacher, you can put the stuff in there, you know, that way you can delay your taxes. That way you have a lot of money to work with for a while. So other than that, you start making, because the church was nothing but where the community came together with a plan, and the preacher was the representer of that plan, and they would execute this stuff, and he would just bless it with scriptures and make shit happen. See what I'm saying? He was just your figure. That's where they get this concept of black leadership. And that's why they came to these preachers, because the preacher was the spearhead of a certain community. That's all. He could be put in place and taken out of place. That's how it used
to now,
work.
But now,
they
like, this is what I was
government
saying.
Of you. Because they
Christianity had to go. Christianity had to go. Christianity, it cannot be no more preachers. It cannot be, because that's the problem. No, that's the problem. That's the main problem. Even these so-called people in the streets, they walk in faith and not by sight. These people are mostly attached to their imaginations. These people, you can feed these people dreams. These people live other people's dreams. All those people, we clearing them out. So already, if nothing could be said.
Right. But don't worry about
pastors,
the doctrine.
But that's the problem.
Let me show you something.
Because these
Let me show you something. How do you think Christianity has a stronghold? When you talk about mega churches, how do you think they have a stronghold? Because all the stuff that they talked about in this Bible, about Jesus going to give you this and that, look at Eddie Long, look at T.D. Jakes, look at all these guys. How do you think they hold 30,000 member plus strong? Because they produce something for these people. You see what I'm saying? They took the Nation of Islam plan and put it in effect on the Christian level. See what I'm saying? So you can do that same, you can take that same model and do the same thing. You just go into that church, that money that your grandmama, your great-grandmama, your auntie been giving that man for so long to enrich him. It's time for him to pay up. That's what you're telling him. You're going to either participate or you're going to pay up and get the hell up out of here. Game over. See what I'm saying? All you need is a few like-minded people. If you listen to the show earlier when I was speaking about the Deacons of Defense, those were members of churches who seen something that wasn't right and said, hey, I'm going to put this Christian shit to the side and stop letting these people burn up our businesses, kill and lynch and hunt down our people for nothing. They went around the whole South. Do you see what I'm saying? And they was headed to Black Wall Street to protect those people. See what I'm saying? This is what y'all gangs can be. So you have to get your mind right first before you can clean out their minds.
You got to get your mind right and get like-minded people with you
and take action, and people will say, okay, we're going to get involved, but we're going to get the hell out the way because these guys here, and then that's how you take it.
I already like, but I'm saying that I know for a fact, like I'm not from like the big city. I'm kind of smart, you know. I always knew about our religion,
slow your roll a little bit, man. We're gonna have to bring some more people in here that want to talk.
All right, I'll let you go. All right, bye.
Yeah, appreciate it. We didn't mean to cut your wisdom, brother. We ain't cut it off. We know we've both been talking on history, but, you know, sometimes we allow people to come in and we'll take it sometimes. Y'all know how Coach Freeman, we don't never try to cut nobody off, let them cut nobody mics. But we know we're going to get off track with it, history. We only got 38 minutes in it. We really ain't did nothing on history. So, but when a brother called, you know, share wisdom with them, because, you know, that's one thing we don't want to do. We don't want to shut nobody off. You know, some people do need help. Call and talk to us, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's our job, it's our duty to do this. You know, Coach Freeman ain't never really stayed on the topic all the time, so it's cool.
But some right.
Yeah.
Some right. We ain't off topic. We still on topic. We on topic like a motherfucker.
Some of the family get, you know, we went into the neighborhood, and, you know, I understand what you're saying.
No,
want to stay with the history part, so.
I know, but still, it still go back to the title, Black History Screwed and Chopped. See how this brother's mindset is screwed and chopped.
Mm-hmm.
Our people. It's on topic, goddammit. Look what the brother said. He said, why should we kill each other over some Jordans when we could just go steal them? Come on, man. That's Black History School and Child. And he think he's spitting game. What is shit? Is it not screwed and chopped, or am I just, you know, because shit, that's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm. He on both sides.
These are the type of mindset of our people that we got to knock all them barriers down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This brother here, it's psychological. He's trying to break out of his own cage, but he can't. He's walking back and forth, just like the lessons say. A lion in the cage. He's scared to come out of that mindset lifestyle, but got a little knowledge, but, you know what I'm saying? Scared to come out of that cage. Scared to get the light. We still on goddamn topic. Y'all go ahead and bring the blackness, goddammit. Because we got some more clips. Shit.
Yeah, what I mean about that is, like I said, sometimes, like I said, I understand what the brother concept. Like I said, we were going in, we were helping a brother. Sometimes we get to running in circles and shit sometime on these shows, and we never really reach the actual points that we trying to make. You know, and other family, they coming in to listen, they get throwed off too, and they listen, you know, and feed in, like, what the hell y'all talking about? What's going on? So, you know, when I listen to read the comments and the chat and all that, it's like, what the hell y'all talking about? So it do get throwed off, and sometimes on the show, we never reach the point that we was supposed to be. Because I go back and listen to the show, I'm like, we ain't never talk on the shit we supposed to be. We never reached the point. We threw out a whole bunch of information. What was the fucking point we were trying to make? So that's what I'm trying to say.
I feel you.
We get told off on that.
Oh, come right. Don't think I wasn't bored. Don't think I wasn't bored, bro. It got to me, too. I'm just saying. It's just showing you.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a vlog. Black your mic over.
1-800 number.
What's up, brothers?
You got
what's
it.
Up,
what's up, brother?
Man, I was listening to the brother, man. He sounded like me, man, from back in the days, man. Like he was just screaming out, help me, help me, help me. He don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Coach of Freedom need a 1-800 number. 1-800, help me.
For sure, huh?
Hey, look. I was listening to the brother, and he sounded like one of them brothers that needed somebody to talk to when he was just spitting out everything, trying to get it all out at one time. You know, I was listening for a minute, and I wasn't gonna cue in. I was just listening, you know. But I was going to tell him, you know, after he said that certain things that he used to do when he was out on the street, and he talking about he by himself and, you know, all this right here, and he can't, you know, nobody listen to him. When you were disruptive, who was listening to you then? Like I tell you, Brother Sunray, you know, if you were destructive, man, you had to come in that thing, man, constructively and come with the same type of force.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
If nobody going to listen to you, you have to make them listen to you. Shit, you made them listen to you when you was robbing and stealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about our Black History Month. And how many days of Black History and Black History Month do we really have? And I'm looking at this calendar, and we sharing this shit right here with so many different holidays and so many different observances that we really don't, I don't see but like one or two. If y'all brothers don't mind, I'm going to read them off. No, I see two. I'm going to read them off. And these are the days that are observed and celebrated the month of February that they call our month. So on February 1st, we got National Freedom Day observance, Groundhog Day is the second, Rosa Parks Day on the 4th, on Friday, February 7th, we got National Wear Red Day. And can't forget about the one who had freed us, Lincoln's birthday, which is February the 12th, and that's celebrated in Connecticut, Illinois, Missouri, New Jersey, and New York. And last Friday, Valentine's Day, it's the observance. Also, on that same day, we got Susan B. Anthony's birthday observed in Florida. And the 17th, we got President's Day, which a lot of kids are out of school, you know, all across the nation. Then we got St. David's Day. Daisy Gaston Bates Day. Now I don't know who the hell that is, but it's an observed holiday in I think Arkansas. And then here, yesterday, it was George's Day. So the kids are out of school here too. So how much of this so called holiday that they gave us that we really have that's ours? How much of this day is ours? You know, Black History Month. So when you say chop and screw, yeah, chop this shit up and it's cool to shop. How much is it ours, Brother Eric?
For sure, man. You laugh, keep from crying, bro. Shit.
Now, looking around on last Friday, besides Culture Freedom, it wasn't nobody said anything about black history of anything that had to do with our struggle or what we were going through or what we achieved. Nobody. They were thinking about roses and candy and all that bullshit right there.
There you go.
President's Day, they had a parade here that celebrated, you know, President's Day.
Yeah.
And a lot of other places around the United States of America. But they reported on CNN. They reported on CBS, CNN. Ain't none of that right there. And that same day, they didn't say anything about Black History Month. It's a joke. It's a joke. A joke that has been chopped and screwed. And I think that us, as Africans, African-American, of Native American, Africans, or however you want to put it, that celebrate that shit, we go along with it. Because you know what? In a couple more months, Gay Pride Month coming up, Latino Month coming up. What else we got? There's a couple more observatory months that's dedicated to one group of people that's coming up. Shit, we got Jesus Month coming up in December. The Pilgrims Month coming up in Thanksgiving. And even damn, what that boy's name is, Michael Myers got a month in October. People do more preparing for those months than they do for this month right here, especially black people. But I applaud the brother, though, because he reminds me of me. He must have ran across and was looking through and seeing the topic and said, hey, man, I'm going to call and I'm going to put off everything because these brothers right here might know what I'm talking about. And if they don't, I'm going to school them.
For sure.
He was happy. Hey, he was happy. I can hear him just letting loose all that energy and, you know, all that emotion, man. He was glad to be able to talk to somebody that understood where he was coming from.
Man, it's therapy, man. It's therapy. It's therapy.
Yep. Now I need 1-800 Culture Freedom Radio. Shit. Would you put that 99 cent a minute?
Look, bro. This ain't nothing but an ancient tradition, bro. Always did this shit. That's why I feel so goddamn good to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes, sir. I understand.
Always. That's part of our culture, chopping it up like that. Just guessing our shit. That's us. Like
yep.
The Indians with the powwow and shit. You know what I'm saying?
When I hear brothers like that, I'm just so interested in, you know, where they from and, you know, what's going on and, you know, they by themselves and where you had learned that right there from and what made you even, you know what I'm saying, think of that right there and, you know, what can you do? Because he might have been a hardcore-ass game banger now. You know? We have to do like, you probably have to do like Wu-Tang. Probably just do like Wu-Tang and get some Culture Freedom Radio, you know what I'm saying, shirts out. And if a motherfucker pull them on, I mean they represent, they're going to do anything and everything they got to do, you know what I'm saying, to hold their position. Culture Freedom Midwest. Culture Freedom, Culture Freedom North. You know? Culture Freedom Down South.
We need more Culture Freedom errs. We need to be on 7 days a motherfucking week. We need more Culture Freedom errs. Get on the mic and spit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people all over, you know, and I go talk to people, and I try to see where their mindset is at, and if they have certain thoughts, you know, and where they came from, who introduced them to them, and I'll direct them to Culture Freedom. But some of the ass, they're going to do like him. like a homeboy of mine was like, hey, you know, man, I want the what that number was. I said, shit, if I give him this damn number.
Man, it don't take what,
all night long.
Hey, man, it don't take a lot. It can just be one word or a sentence to make that light bulb just, you can't even remember when your light bulb came on. It just, bam, came on. You can kind of relax, about the year or something, but you didn't know when that motherfucker quit. So, hey.
You right.
We throwing it out there. And it's beautiful that he called in, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling brother earlier this week that my mama, you know, I asked her some, you know, I put some shit on my Facebook page. My mama came back and commented on it. Then she called me, and I asked her, you know, why she never told me that shit. You know, why you never told me? She said, because it wasn't my time. But now she got my back full-fledged.
Well,
some brothers, they need somebody to know that, hey, man, you know, you're not by yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I was there, too. I was worse than him, though. I was worse than him. Could you imagine? You couldn't tell me shit. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine? I was the most hard-headed motherfucker. There was. But it's something just triggered for me to just stop and say, wait a minute, man. Something triggered. And a light came on. I said, man, I got to stop this. I mean, this is more realistic than the shit I'm fucking with. You know what I'm saying? This kind of lifestyle, knowledge yourself. Shit.
You
this
know
shit
what?
Fun. Look, it's fun. It gravitates to my
you
DNA,
fun?
Goddamn it. Huh? Shit. I be trying to be awake 24/7, girl. I don't try to be sweet. Because I want to know. But go ahead, bro.
You know, I want to say people that might be listening, people think that knowledge of self means just that it's knowledge for yourself. And I believe in the philosophy, each one teach one. You know, because I've been awakened by a brother a long time ago that was in Islam. And he came to me, you know, and they used to call it that Big Mouth Mike. Big Mouth Mike, you see his ass coming. All the brothers I used to hang with, he used to smoke the weed and drink and, you know, be going after girls. They'd be running from it. Oh, shit, they go Big Mouth Mike talking that crazy shit. So one day I'm at school. I had to wait to go into the president of the school office I was at. And lo and behold, who came? Big Mouth Ass Mike. He came, hey, brother, how you doing, brother? He said, brother, I have it, you know. Do you know about self? I know about self. I said, yeah, I know myself. Well, tell me about yourself. You know, I'm not telling you about myself. You know, I told him my name and told him, he said, no, brother, tell me about yourself. You know, man, to make a long story short, that brother talked to me for about 30 minutes and had my mouth open, had my eyes watery, you know, and I'm questioning shit about myself. I'm questioning the way I approach the white man. I'm questioning things that, you know, I know about, you know, black people in general. See, I knew the surface shit, but he had put some underneath the surface ass shit on me. But from now
on, what
you're
saying.
Everything I did, I had to think twice on why I did it. Like, if I go meet a white man, I wouldn't dare look on the floor. Because if I looked on the floor, it made me feel like the reason I did it, I looked down, below his where his hand is standing at to shake it, to shake mine, that right there made me feel as though, damn, I'm doing this right here because I'm a slave. I'm doing it right here because I'm a house nigga, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing this right here because I've been trained. But it really opened my eyes, you know, on trying to understand knowledge of self. But a lot of people, they take knowledge of self, and they think that shit right there means knowledge of self only. People think
knowledge of self means knowledge of the ancestors and knowledge of your history. That's what most people equate with knowledge of self. When they say you don't have knowledge of self, they're like saying that you don't know your ancient history and things of that nature. But knowledge of self is actually knowing who you are. Your likes, your dislikes, your whole makeup, and it's deeper than how do you react due to circumstances. That shit is conditioning. Knowledge of self is going into self, analyzing self. See, you recognize you've been trained, and when you recognize you've been trained, you do shit out of habit because you're just used to it. Just because you still do it and you know why you do it, you're doing it out of habit. So therefore, you have to say, well, analyze the shit. That's knowledge of self type shit.
But see,
know, that's the real
see,
knowledge
Eric,
of self. And meditation.
But see, a lot of people put ish
fasting.
At the end of it.
That's knowledge of self.
At the end of it. Ish. ISH at the end of it. Ish. At the end of it. Knowledge of selfish. You know.
Selfish.
They'll be like, shit. I had to learn by myself. I had to learn on my own. Ain't nobody had told me nothing. Ain't nobody showed me nothing. Shit. A nigga got to find out like I found out. A nigga got to learn like I had to learn. You know? A lot of them, they know just as much as me and just as much as you. And that brother who had called us now, he probably been around those same people. But they look at him, and he come to them, and he be talking that shit that he was talking this night, you know, when he had called him coach, you know, on Culture Freedom Radio and was saying some shit that he didn't know that we knew, but some shit that he thought he was schooling us on, but he probably go around some brothers that might have more knowledge than all of us put together. But them most selfish-ass motherfuckers, you know what, I'm sorry for talking like that on the show. Check game, though.
Anytime somebody engages with a conversation that you're having, that means, for one, they're interested, they want to partake, and they want to share. And it's a give-and-take type of thing, and it's an exchange. It's an exchange of information. This is a three-party show. Three people having a conversation. Then we got somebody else calling in. Why? Because they're interested in the conversation. They want to get something out of it, and they want to give something to it. So there you go.
Yes, sir. And I understand. I understand that. And that's a beautiful thing. And see, that what separates y'all. That what separates y'all apart from a lot of other people out there. Because a lot of them motherfuckers are selfish. They have the knowledge of the self, but they put the ish at the end of it. And it becomes knowledge of selfishness. You know? They ain't going to tell you shit. They be like, I had to find out for myself. You have to find out for yourself. They're not going to have an open forum where anybody can call, and anybody can talk to, and anybody can come at them. Because, you know, it's like... They keep it all to themselves. That's all I'm saying. They keep it all to themselves.
I feel you. Because then nobody teach me shit. Grandpa didn't teach me shit. None of my grandpas taught me shit. My daddy taught me something. Shit, he died when I really needed him and shit. In my life and shit. So basically I learned shit from here and there. So yeah, I feel you on that.
My
That's
mama,
why we call him widow's son. That's why we the widow's son.
The widow ain't gonna even tell you shit. The widow know a little something. The widow ain't gonna say shit. Hey, I told my mama, I say, "But mama, why you never been told me this stuff?" Because it wasn't your time. Now she said it wasn't my time, but you know all the damn obstacles I had to go through to get to this point. I'm lucky to be here.
But
it wasn't my time.
Then again, you have to go back to the story. They didn't know who the widow was. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
So, shit, you still in the motherfucker. Even if your mama's there, shit, she programmed not to tell your motherfucking ass.
Hey man, you remember the movie Kung Fu? No, the TV show Kung Fu. The TV show Kung Fu with David Carradine. David Carradine. This motherfucker, he got down, had to go through the initiation of breaking stones, walking across fire, all this old bullshit, darling spears. But what was his last damn test that the motherfucker gave him before he had went off into the wilderness? I mean, before he had went off on his quest? Snatched the pebble from out my hand. Snatched the pebble from out my hand. And that right. Remember the little commercial? Remember we used to come on and it always showed the old dude with the pebble in his hand saying, "Snatch the pebble from out my hand." And then you know, that means that you have arrived, made it. Man, I remember me and my brother, man, we used to be doing that shit. I got a pebble in my hand, he got a pebble in his hand, and we trying to snatch it. Point. I snatched the pebble from his hand. I thought I had done a ride and made it, too. I went around the corner, this dude had stole, I used to sell peanuts and shit. Went around the corner, this dude who had stole my peanuts and shit, confronted him and got my ass kicked. We think that a little bit here and a little bit there is what it takes to the master, quote unquote, knowledge of ourselves. But it's a bigger quest and journey than snatching the pebble from out somebody's hand. You know, a lot of us think that we know a little bit about history, we know a little bit about self, and we can go and we can just conquer mountains, but we can't.
Mm-mm.
It's harder. And I'm pissed off because I got to share, I'm saying, just speaking as a Christian person, which I'm not, but if I was a Christian, I'd be mad about this right here. I got to share my month that, you know, Christian people don't know too much, but I ain't trying to disrespect no Christian, but it's the truth. I got to share my month with a groundhog, Lincoln, and a damn Valentine, and where I'm at in Georgia, you mean Georgia Day holiday? Plus it's like several other days like I named earlier. So how many days in Black History Month do we really have? How many days do we have? I'm saying that we can say that are ours. With no interruptions, no breaks. How many days do we really have? Nobody got an answer for that?
Because, mm-hmm. See, I look at it like this, Savannah. Even though they interjected, we have to, like I was telling the younger brother when he was talking about the Christianity thing and stuff, you have to push all that to the side. You see what I'm saying? Now, with the Groundhog Day, that's dealing with something that's agricultural. That's something we really created. So we can't really bash on the groundhog thing because that's dealing with agriculture, which is something we utilize. You know, we watch the movement of the animals. They want to trivialize that. You know what I'm saying? They're going to always take your stuff and trivialize it or interject. You have to remember, like us three building, you notice how we build, and then the last 2 weeks, the beast started calling in, playing on the phone, when we have a topic up there that's or a subject that's, you know, that's fiery. They want to interject because they don't feel alive, and they don't want nobody else like to come on like Eric was saying. So they have to come, and that's why we call them crackers. They got to crack up the subject that you and your homeboys may be chopping it up on the job or chopping up wherever, you know, a large amount of Caucasoids, you know, congregate at. One of them going to come over there to figure out what the hell it is y'all talking about and doing. They got to feel alive. Then they got to touch you, pat you. They're pulling your energy. You see what I'm saying? And they've been trained as a child to always see what these Negroes are up to, what they plotting and planning, because they know, like when we had the show last week about the Seminoles and all that, and they have to always know that they are at war with you. You see what I'm saying? Black people ain't figured out that they in war. They're prisoners of war, and that they're being attacked on all angles, from the GMOs, from the eugenic project. We attack from everywhere. So when they come and we look at, because you got to remember, Black History Month was only for 2 weeks when Carter G. Woodson set it up. You see what I'm saying? And he set it up because he liked it. Lincoln and I think, was it, which that other, Frederick Douglass or one of them, their birthdays was within that time or something like that. But he
Susan B. Anthony.
No, he had
Susan B. Anthony.
It's another, no, it was Douglass too. I think his birthday was sometime this month too, because those were the two people he admired. So they like a week apart or something like that.
George Washington birthday. February 17th.
It was a black guy. It was a black guy born in February. It was one of them. Frederick Douglass or I think it was, because that's Umar Johnson. That's why it keeps jumping out at me. I think it was Frederick Douglass. But anyway, it was only 2 weeks. It was extended over the period of time. You see what I'm saying? But see, our history is every damn day. Every minute, every second, what we choose it to be. So we can't get caught up in why they give us the shortest month and all that type of stuff. See, while we worrying about that, we ain't putting out the history. It don't matter. You see what I'm saying? Because we are timeless people. So we can drop the history 365 days. That's why McDonald's stole that saying, and what they say, McDonald's. Celebrate Black History.
Black History, yeah.
We in the hood 365 days of the year. Now, why did McDonald's say that? Because McDonald's controls the Black History. They invest in the Black History department, the Black History, what you call that shit? Damn, I work at school. But they pay for this Black History shit in school. You see what I'm saying? And they sit on a board that dictates what will be taught and what's not going to be taught in Black History, the Afrocentric Black study shit. They control that. See what I'm saying? So they put it out in code saying McDonald's history 365 days of the year. You remember that slogan they used to have? And then they went to Tom Joyner, who's a boule. And they used him to promote it through the radio when he had the little known Black History fact that he used to do on the radio. I don't know if he do it now because I don't listen to him too much.
Yeah, he still do it.
They was in partnership, and he was making sure that you got it, your history, while you laughing and giggling. He would tell the story, then J. Anthony Brown would joke about the specific person that was in that Black History, so you could just hear it and laugh it off. But McDonald's was controlling that information, and that's who was financing. Like when he gave you the little $1,000 to go to college and stuff, that was all financed by McDonald's, because they control the direction and which type of information you're going to get and not get. Eric played the clip earlier, was showing you how they were controlling when the white guy was breaking down how they was going to present Egyptology, and that they controlled that. Then they really got these black people and had them come in and rewrite this stuff in the direction they wanted to go. It was John Henry Clark. It was Sheikh Amp Diop, Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Ben. They the ones who debunked all that and brought Africa back to us like it was supposed to. But they still position where they were compromised, where they couldn't go but so far. You see what I'm saying? And that's where we were supposed to take the ball, which we are taking the ball and running with it and redefining it. You see what I'm saying? They only could say so much. But we take just what they say, and we be like you said, with the Christian mentality and the European outlook, we have took that Egyptology and Afrocentric stuff and made it into a religion, taking on these Egyptian and Kemetic names, making Dr. Ben and all these people deities. You see what I'm saying? When they are our ancestors who brought back shit to us, but we always got to do like they do, make shit into a religion. You see what I'm saying? You got these people going around, oh, I'm Kemetic, I'm Egyptologist. That's a religion, a modern-day religion.
I think any title that anybody put on themselves outside just being itself is following some type of religion. Some type of religion.
That's right.
You know, if you add a title to it, it's a religion. I don't care what you want to say. You know, you be like, well, I'm the Wahhabi. Okay, what's your religion? Oh man, I'm not religion. I don't have no religion. Or you say you're the Wahhabi. You know what I'm saying? You getting identified from a certain type of teaching, then you religious.
And ain't nothing wrong with it.
You said it's nothing wrong with it.
Ain't nothing wrong with being religious. Ain't nothing wrong with being religious, because you got to understand, when you say Nubian and certain things like that, you're accepting a part of your culture. Your culture is big and bad. You're accepting a part of your culture. It's how you look at it. That's the problem. Are you looking at this religion that you set up or this part of your culture from a European mindset? It's the mindset of how you're looking at it, because it belongs to you. So if someone bring it back to you and you go through that school of thought, that's you trying to raise yourself up to a certain level. Now, if you say this part of my culture and I'm going to accept this part, there's nothing wrong with participating in that. But when participating in it from when you was hit over your head, and you wake up and get in this, and you ain't cleared all the cobwebs out, and you bring it in what somebody programmed you with, into that, now you got a problem. See what I'm saying? You got a problem when you bring this mentality into your culture. Nubian is a culture that belongs to you.
He says, When you go to identify and put yourself in allegiance to that right there, you know, by saying that is what you are, then you are shutting certain doors by doing that. You know,
right?
You shutting certain. I understand what you're saying, brother, but you still shutting certain doors. We done already been through that. We done already been Islam. We already been Christians. You know what I'm saying?
So
now we done took on another thing, and we add that right there to ourselves, and we identify to other people. Hey, look, now I understand what you said, but this is what I am. I'm a so-and-so. Oh, you a so-and-so? Okay, I heard about y'all. But you become, you co-signing. So how can you have the real, total black experience when you identify yourself with religion or movement? I just don't understand.
We basically saying the same thing, and see, that's what I'm keep saying. When you do it, when you hear people do that, they're taking it from the European concept. You have to remember, we were on there's billions of us all have our one precise defined culture. You always keep that with you, your culture. But when you block somebody else out and can't engage or merge your culture with them or work with them, you see what I'm saying? Now you're looking at you. That's because you haven't gotten that European mindset out of your head. Because I can be of the Islamic culture. You can approach me from the Christian culture. You see what I'm saying? But because you look like me, and I understand that, you see what I'm saying? There are certain things in your culture I might not agree with. There are certain things in my culture you might not agree with. But because you look like me, see, now we get into dismissing the title. You see what I'm saying? You and I still can work. And that's what used to happen across the globe. People had different cultures, but they still would work together. Because you may have something I need to your doctorate and not like you because of this. I'm getting what I need to get from you, and I'm going to give you what you need, and that's what's that. And you went on about your business and did what you did. And we got along just fine. We started being like the European, want to dissect stuff, want to say, wait, all this. That's why we had certain things that were sacred. Certain knowledge wasn't for people. You go to any culture, they had high priests that didn't disperse certain information to people because they wasn't ready for the knowledge. Like when we were saying the widow's son, you said, which you had to be rolling, he said, the widow ain't need to tell me that. Because there are certain times, there are certain things you must go through. There are things she see that he going to go through it, experience it, and going to be all right. But you need to experience that. You see what I'm saying? And that's what schools of thoughts are. You need to go through these schools of thought to experience certain cultures and extract that knowledge from it. Then you can take all of that and build your own culture from it. Or you can say, okay, I'm going to just stay in this culture and participate in it. But we want to knock each other because the beast did. That's what he did. He went around saying, this is a religion I don't like, and we're going to fight them and kill them and conquer them. Our minds is like that, where we got to conquer and kill a person because he say he's a part of this type of culture. We're acting like Europeans. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, true. I understand what you're saying.
You know, so we basically on the same level of what we're talking about, you know. But we have to stop prejudging people based upon that title or that school of thought they in because they may have something else for you. A Christian can open the door for you. That you couldn't
be. And I understand that, you know, that's one of the reasons a while back I started listening to Culture Freedom was because I started hearing, you know, I landed on one show and the brothers were talking some heavy knowledge, and then when I tuned back in, I thought they was going to be on that same thing, and then it went on something else. I thought they had took a little hiatus, and they was going to come back to the first thing they were talking about the first time I heard them, but then they kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going. See, I can get into a teaching like that. There's something to open up your mind that for somebody to say, well, you know, I'm Islam. For somebody to say, well, you know, I'm more science. For somebody to say, well, you know, we Christians. I'm just using examples, you know, but when you put those things up there and out there, then you setting other people up, when you say you have knowledge of yourself, to listen to you say something, agree with what you say, like the way that you put it, and then adopt whatever it is that you say that you are and don't move no further than that right there.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
You understand what I'm saying? It's like when you listen to it, when they have debates, Sarnetta them at the, you know, the House of Conscience and all that right there, and you might have, you know, different people going against each other from different groups, but then somebody might go so hard on the other person, even though they might not be right in what they say, even though both of them might be right in what they say, but because somebody just coming in and they listening to them, they'll just jump ships and jump sides and stay right there in that school of thought and don't move out of that whatsoever. See, that's something that I don't understand us, but as black people, that's just something we do.
Yeah, and see, you're right, and that's the point I'm trying to make. We get stuck, stagnant in certain things because we have deified these people. You see what I'm saying? They tickled our fancies, and they said some stuff that sound good to our ear. You see what I'm saying? Or they may look good, or they present their stuff in a certain way, and it mesmerizes us, and we don't want to explore nothing beyond that, and then we say, you know what, I'm just going to follow this, and then I'm going to try to be the best at that I am. That's what I was talking about. They the one created a religion. It may not even be the person speaking trying to promote a religion. But you'll have people that will have so much of a following that they'll now take on all this stuff that this man's saying. They make it a religion, and they own mine. You see what I'm saying? And that's why they can't move on and hear or grasp no more information when they don't realize that knowledge is ever continuous. All that shit belongs to you, so you should be wallowing in it all. absorbing it from everywhere it comes from, and take what can work for you personally first, and then you expand out and put it out there that where it can work for all of y'all. Whether he coming from this avenue, she coming from that avenue, let's put it all together and make something happen for us. And that's what we used to do as a people. Look at the Garvey movement. He had all people, all different religions in there. And look what he was able to accomplish. Because they put their religion, they left that shit at the door. They intelligent, what they knew, what they actually could manifest based on the information and talent they had. That's what we used to do. And that's what has to occur now. But when you standing up debating on information that belongs to you, you're tearing down the people who brought that shit to you. Actually, you're confusing the people.
Exactly.
They're going back to the church. You're confusing them. When I'm a new Robbie and I'm going to go against this more, when I'm this and I'm an Egyptologist and I'm going to go against this black Israelite, all this type of stuff, you're tearing down your own culture. You're tearing it down. Because you were that. At one period of time, you was all that. These people chose to live in this religion, this region, and had this type of culture, and they gave it a name. They got along with other people, and sometimes they did fight. But if you understand, it wasn't over doctrine. Like these niggas debate now over doctrine, they were fighting over resources, survival. You see what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this right here. What how were you raised? I'm talking about as far as religion goes.
We didn't have none. My mother just started going to church when my old man got sick. She would send us every now and then, or my aunt would come and get us and take us on Easter, dress us up. We come to church on Easter. But we didn't have, you know, no said religion. That's why my mind was always was able to be open. You know, I was approached by brothers from Nation Islam. They showed me some stuff. The Wabian brothers showed me some stuff. And I just kept reading. I just had it in my heart. You know, something wasn't right. And that's what drove me to seek out information. You know? And I'd just chop it up with people and just ask them, hey, tell me about this, tell me about that. And they would just tell me by the way I approached them. You know? And then I just kept reading for myself. Studying. I say, my mother didn't start going to church because she got in her 60s. She's 72 now.
You know, what, brother? That's a blessing. That's a blessing that you didn't have to, you know what I'm saying, go through that right there like most of, you know, us did, you know?
Yeah, my mother came home and took care of her husband. She ain't had time for that shit. You know, that's just how I was raised. She ain't go to church.
But you know, as far as you know, the embracing of Black History Month for me, you know, I understand what you're saying. What you said, well, you know that right there was us, and this right here was us. But I'm tired of having to sneak and eat my damn food. You understand what I'm saying? I'm tired of having to say, well, you know what? I know that really was us. You know, and to go by that right there and to kind of, you know, hide the facts. A lot of things that you said, yeah, I know that right there. You know that right there. But you know what? The majority of us as people don't know that stuff right there.
And they say what? In the land of the blind, who is king? In the land of the blind, who is king? Huh?
I don't know. You tell me, brother.
The man with one eye is king, right? So you got to be the beacon light. You got to be that beacon light in the midst of all them ignorant motherfuckers that you around. You see what I'm saying? And that way you can teach them. You see, they'll come to you. When they ready, they'll come to you. But be you. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here, brother. I'm listening.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? You be that beacon light amongst them. And they'll see and say, why is he so different? And then you tell them. You humbly tell them. You know what I'm saying? They know who you are. They know what they know that they're doing something wrong. They're not living who they're supposed to be, and they're scared of you because you're being there. You're that beacon light. And when they come, you shed that light on them. You ain't got to be afraid to eat your food, live different from them. You see what I'm saying? Because you said that last week. You were saying how those people who know, they'll come and preach. Those who don't know, but some of them do know, but they hate it. Because the minute you tell them something, it's going to hurt them, and it's going to force them. You got to remember, once somebody give you knowledge or give you some information, that shit is in your mind forever. It's transferred either to your short-term memory or your long-term memory. But it's there. It's going to force them to be something. It's going to force them to be real. They know what it comes. And sometimes you want them to stay away from you. You're telling them. That's what knowledge does. It runs all these silly, no good people away from you. That's the magic in having knowledge. That's the spiritual magic. Having knowledge that you can make people flee the shit out of your mouth. You ain't got to fire a shot. Because they inside of them, they may have had some animosity towards you, or they may want to do something to you. But what come out of your mouth is power. The way you present yourself, what you wear is power. Like a pair of Jordans will track a motherfucker to rob you. You see what I'm saying? A Dashiki make a perfect thing. See, look at this culture. I don't know how deep he living it. He might got a machete, gonna chop my damn head off. So they keep on moving. Or he gonna say something out of his mouth that's gonna hurt my Christianity. He gonna say something out of his mouth that's gonna try to cut me from the white man. So he leave you alone. It's important. Your dress is important. What you wear is important. See what I'm saying? That's why the white man, he used that against you. You got dreadlocks on in your hair. Hey, that's a thug now. But that was culturalistic back in the day. But now put on some dreadlocks and stuff. That's why he, anything he want to destroy, that culture of yours, he infuse it in hip-hop and put it out there mainstream, commercialize it. Then he make a movie with that type of imagery and put it to the world that this is criminal activity. This is what he does with your culture because you're not upholding it. Not you personally, Savannah, but I'm just saying, as a people, we don't uphold it and say, like the sister in Baltimore, they fired the teacher. She told her, hey, and then the news anchor, I think she's down your way. And they fired her because she came and spoke out about natural hair and dreadlocks and stuff like that. So they telling you, no, you don't need to wear that no more. I want your hair perm, no afros. They destroying your culture.
Yeah, they had the same thing going on down here.
Yeah, because they don't want you to be you. Because they know the time has come that you're waking up and coming back into yourself. Like the guy said, now the white folks with the cornrows and dreadlocks and stuff, that's all Egyptian stuff. That's you coming back, waking up, looking like you did ancient time. And he can't have that. That's fear. So he got to promote it as his fear as violence. See what I'm saying? He takes your culture and put it in a violent scene in this movie so that everybody should fear it. So now we got to outlaw this. We got to get rid of that.
Yeah, Steven Seagal, movie. It was a couple movies I remember back in the days. I had long hair back then, but I cut my hair because I was scared. Well, I use the word scared, but because I wanted to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all these movies out that were negative toward black people with their hair and dreadlocks. So I cut my hair back then.
See?
But I had to. Because,
then,
I had to go to court. I cut my hair. No,
early.
I cut my hair after I went to court.
Mm-hmm. You remember the bald head was the thing to fear. A brother with a bald head and a wife beater on. How they promoted that. Infused it into hip-hop. Tupac, DMX, all these brothers, they made you afraid of that. Now brothers got bald head. Oh, hey, how you doing? And dressed up in a suit. That's acceptable now. Now they picking on the dreadlocks. They don't want you to ever establish a culture in the United States. Especially to reflect something that they had to fight against and that they didn't hid up under some in some lodge somewhere or in some safe somewhere that they know reflects you. They don't want that to ever surface inside of you, and you're manifesting and wearing it wholeheartedly, spiritually, and you know, and you can identify with it as, this is who I am, this is my culture, this is me upholding my ancestors. They don't ever want you to give up. So they have to make it look, they have to vilify the shit and make it look like something going occur if you see a person like that. Like the Young Brothers bumping the little hip-hop music and all that. They have to always make you look like a villain and create an identity to go along with it. You know what I'm saying? You can be just the most intelligent person with dreadlocks in your head ain't gonna harm a flea. But they're gonna see you with that and say, this motherfucker might take my purse.
You don't really have to. The white, you know what? We talk all this stuff about the white man a lot of times, but the white man don't have to do nothing. He got his guard dogs on duty there to do it for him. Without him even saying anything about it.
They gonna push it. The black people gonna push it. Oh, it come from his hem, but the blacks gonna push it. I was telling the young brother, the old people, a lot of them ain't sellouts. Some of them are just scared because of what's been pushed into their head.
Yeah.
You got some old heads that sell outs, but a lot of them ain't. They just scared. They've been through a lot and seen a lot. See what I'm saying? And they can't fight no more. And they know you ain't going to fight. So they just leave it alone and keep their mouth closed. Until you wake up, then they say, mm-hmm, blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. Yeah, a lot of them will fight them and knock the out of them. So they just chill. Sit on that wheel. That's all they do. They're sitting on that wheel because it's time to depart to the right individual.
So let me answer this right here. Because I just started listening not too long before I called in. But what part of Black History Month that you see as being chopped and screwed? Brother Anthony.
Yeah. The part of Black History Month I see being chopped and screwed is they don't touch too much on the slavery, how they chopped and screwed the civil rights movement, how they chopped and screwed the Malcolm X. Because this is here. I'm glad you asked me that. You brought me back. Okay, in New York, last week, the children were told to write a little essay or whatever and present it about Black history. Right? The teacher told the children, y'all can write about Martin Luther King or blah, 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 this, but you can't speak about Malcolm X. So one of the kids went home and told his parents, hey, I want to do Malcolm X. He told me I couldn't do it because he represented the violent side of Black history. So they went up to the school and got on the people about it. They were like, well, we didn't know that this was being said to the children. You know, they were saying, well, Malcolm X had a big impact on, you know, Black history. So they let them have a presentation, and I don't know the last result of it. The teacher was supposed to come and apologize for saying that, but that's some chopping screws right there. See what I'm saying? You're gonna dictate, you're gonna tell them write about an icon that touches you or blah 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 in Black history, but don't write about this person here. See what I'm saying? They want you to look at all the docile stuff. And basically saying, everybody here, y'all just talk about Dr. King. You're telling them who to talk about. Talk about all the people who were sympathetic to white oppressors. You see what I'm saying? So that's chopping screwed right there. That's some Black history chopping screwed for me.
They don't,
And the reason I can say it's chopped in schools, because when we do look at Black history every year, they downplay Malcolm X, don't they? They downplay the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They downplay, they may show you a little bit of Black Panther here and there. They don't show you the SNCC movement. They don't show you none of these movements that were fighting and resisting and what they were doing to establish stuff for us as a people where we would be a unit, we'd be moving in unison and have stuff for ourselves. They don't ever show you none of that. They just want to show you everybody who wanted the white man to accept them. You see what I'm saying? Or was beat up for resisting the white man. So that's a chopper's crew too.
Yeah, you would think, you know, I was talking to some brothers the other day, and you would think that every brother back in the days was some old cowardly chump ass, you know what I'm saying, scared of the white man. You would think that there was no brother that was like that right there. But overall, I know it's a couple of brothers here and there that, you know, came about and did something, but they never talk about the ones who resisted.
Yeah, like the Deacons of Defense that I was talking about earlier. Everybody should look into them. They should look at all the things that we, then they don't ever show how we function on our own, that we were prosperous. We were some of the most richest people in the United States all the way up to the 50s. They don't talk about none of that. They don't talk about garbage. They'll show you every now and then a little something, but they're going to always go to where they had hands around your neck where you were fighting and begging for them to let you in. That's what they want to tell you and put in your head so you can continue to fight to be a part of their society. And that you fought so hard, you just said, well, hell, we were doing the wrong thing. You're sorry for it. Forget about it. Here you go, nigga. Here's a bomb. This is what they tell you. This is what they keep in your kids and showing your kids. And we got niggas that come crying for that.
My stepdaddy told me back in the days that, you know, every time that a white person did something to a black person, they went and they took a white person, they did the same thing to them.
That, they don't tell you that though, in history.
He said if a black person got beat down that went on the other side of town, then they'll go and find a white person and they'll do the same thing to them.
Yep, and we used to do that too. Up north we used to do that same shit.
But, you know, if nobody tell you that right there, you'll think that, I'm sorry, really, you'll think that black folks back then were some old scary ass, coward ass, Uncle Tom ass, Sambo, shuffling, biscuit eating ass, watermelon seed spitting ass Negroes. I'm sorry, you really would not think that we had any type of motherfucking get up and go about us whatsoever. You know, like you look at Roots, one of the hardest motherfuckers on Roots was supposed to be Chicken George. You know, anything to soften the blow.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. They never ever want you to believe that you resisted and fought back. And that's why when we did this last show, I was telling you, them people over there in Africa wasn't letting them white folks drag them off on no boats. And these people here wouldn't let nobody just dragging them into no servitude. We fought. We don't fight now. Because we got preachers who were supposed to organize the revolutions. Is now, that's when you go back to your girl Margaret Sanger. She said, we're going to get these charismatic preachers to keep all these smart Negroes in line that know what's going on. And that's what they've done. They came and calmed you down. So anytime you act like you're going to fight, your civil rights leaders come. Say, no, that ain't the way to do it. We're going to take it to the court. We're going to make sure justice prevails. We're just going to demonstrate. Then you pay them, because you got to pay to have a march. So you pay him to even march. And then we're going to back a teacher, keep the ribs, and go home. And wait for justice to prevail. And it never do. See what I'm saying? Your own people keeping you down there. And now these youth are saying, hey, there's something in my spirit that means they're saying I got to fight. But when he see you, he hates you for the simple fact that you a coward. So I don't need you around me. So that's why he hates himself, because those that produce these
ain't showing him nothing. They ain't producing nothing for him. Then you got the mind control that's coming from Hollywood pumping this. This is what it is. You need this then to be in America. So the white man got control of his mind. Tell him, you need Jordan to be somebody. You need Graham to be somebody. You need this to be somebody. And he's looking at his family and like, why we don't have that? This is the man you worship. Why haven't you gotten this for me? Can you blame the children? Blame yourself. You blame those that older than you that's perpetuating white supremacy on you. And it's your preachers, these people writing these books, these people out here arguing over shit. All those people are upholding white supremacy when they saying they trying to tear down the walls of white supremacy. They don't realize their actions is really upholding white supremacy. Because you don't argue over your history. Take your history, and because it was broken into fragments, into many pieces. You're supposed to gather all the pieces of that shit and put it back together. Then go on that battlefield and say, I'm ready now, because I know who I am. I got knowledge of self. Knowledge of self makes everybody flee. Everybody flee.
You say knowledge of self.
If they engage in physical contact, then you take their head off with the sword. Head off. Whether it's black or white, take their motherfucking head off. But they are enemies. Just like the white man on his paper, he got what? Americans are enemy combatants. You have been declared an enemy combatant, so he already said, I'm at war with you. So what you gonna do? That's why the police had a secret orders to kill. You kill a Negro. And don't worry about it. We got you. Now they're telling this. The white folks with this stand your ground law, kill them, we got you. Because they at war with us.
They at war with us because they know they don't got that much time left. Really, they don't. It's like
y'all
talking
about.
And like Brother Sunway was talking about the article where, you know, the white folks, they showed them 50 years from the 2050 or something like that, that they were like a whole nother, you know, breed of people, you know. And they know that right there.
Savannah Black, go on and teach for a minute. I'm going to mute myself for about 5 minutes. So go ahead.
Oh, brother, I don't know too much to say. I'm just as shook as everybody else.
Go ahead and
I'm just as shook as everybody else on, you know, the whole situation of, you know, this Black History Month. Even identifying with this right here made me feel less than a man. You know, we say that it's ours, but it's not mine, you know. And if, you know, somebody say that it is, you know, how do people say in English? I beg to differ. I don't claim this month right here. I don't claim no month for my month. I don't endorse it, you know, nothing like that right there. You know, I don't believe really in no history month for us. If I had to, you know, say that, you know, this right here is my month, I don't know. I guess it's too soft for me. I just can't identify with it. You know? I never have been able to identify with anything that just comes soft or, you know, if it's not like the Black Panthers, I can't identify with it. And I refuse to, and I won't. But I brought up the little days that correspond, you know, with our month, that run through this month, you know, as an example of how can we say this our month when we can't even celebrate it as ours because we have to share it with so many different holidays. Groundhog Day is the most popular of all those days that, you know, people recognize and you know, they look to see whether or not the groundhog wanna see a shadow or not. I can't identify with that. Yeah, I know we, you know, agriculture and the way they grow things in the United States, you know, initially that came from the knowledge that they got from us, but I can't be associated with no fucking groundhog. I won't be associated with no type of animal whatsoever. That's all I have to say about the whole thing.
Okay. Thanks.